We're going to start in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And if you notice the chairs, I went out of COVID mode. So we spread them out really far when we had to do the separation thing. And so I moved them back to where they were pre-COVID. Feels good, doesn't it? Feels good. Feels a lot more homey. Right? So, yeah. Did anybody notice that? That I moved them when I vacuumed last night? You notice that? Yeah.
Pitching the detail, right?
Cheers.
Excellent. Let's see. Steve, will you pray for us?
Sure. Thank you, Lord, for this time we can spend. Thank you for your son who came and died for us. And for all the blessings you have.
Amen. All right. So we're continuing on our doctrine of righteousness. And we're going to look at, again, righteousness means equity of character. And equity in Hebrew, it's not a New Testament word in Greek, but in Hebrew it means in straightness, evenness, upright, success, integrity. So righteousness is God's integrity, right? And mainly God's integrity in me to be able to be displayed towards others. So I do it with the intent to display it towards someone else. So I'm living God's integrity. I'm living that out, right? And I'm doing it justice, you know, justice towards everyone. In myself, between me and the Lord, and to others. All right, 2 Corinthians 5:21. 2 Corinthians 5:21. God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So you become the righteousness of God in Christ. When do you get in Christ? When do you get in him? When do you get there? When you believe, right? You get in Christ when you receive Christ. You're in him at that moment. Boom, at that moment, I'm now in Christ and he is in me. At that moment, I have all of God in me. Okay, I have all of God in me. That's what gives me the ability to live out a victorious Christian life or a victorious godly life, because it's him coming out of me. Now, what I have to do is yield, right? Mm-hmm. I have to allow things to process in my mind and renew my mind, renew my thought patterns, renew things of my past, renew all these things to now in Christ, in him. Okay, so we have that now. We become the righteousness of God in Christ. Moving forward now, believers are able to live righteously. So believers can live in God's straightness. Believers can live, you know, with God's integrity in ourselves, to us and him, and towards others. So what does this look like? Let's go to Philippians chapter 1. I'm going to do my best to not steal Lindsay's thunder, so I'll be brief on this. Philippians chapter 1, verse 11. Actually, let's look at verse 9. It's a prayer request Paul has. We'll start with verse 9. Philippians 1, 9. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all discernment, that you may approve things that are excellent, so that you may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. Here's our text, verse 11. Being filled with the fruit of righteousness, which comes through Jesus Christ for the glory and praise of God. Okay, so it comes through Jesus Christ, and now this fruit of righteousness can be seen in my life, right? That's what Paul's praying for to this group, that people in their group, in themselves and others, can see what God looks like. It's no longer in a nation of Israel, this is what God looks like. It's now in individual believers, this is what God looks like. The nation of Israel was to show what God looked like to other nations. That old covenant is done, it's fulfilled, it's served its purpose. Now we have the church, which is individuals. Okay? Individuals are the church, and the church, the call at assembly, is two people coming together, making one in Christ, right? Jew and Gentile coming together, being one in Christ. That group is called out now in Jesus to now individually live out God's integrity, live out God's character. Does that make sense? That's the fruit that we want to see. Now, do we always see that? No. No, we don't. That's what he's praying for them to have, right? He's praying that they would have this. A lot of people that are born again don't even know that they even have God's righteousness in them. They don't even know what it means to have that. They don't even know how to apply that. They don't even know that they have that power, right? So we can't expect them to live something out that they don't even know they have. Interesting, isn't it? Okay, so we have that fruit of righteousness. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 2. Yeah, 1 Peter chapter 2. Peter had a good grasp on this truth also. 1 Peter chapter 2. And look at verse 24. 1 Peter 2, 24. He himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness. By his wounds you were healed. So we got a little bit of Isaiah 53 in there, mixed in with what Peter is saying. So we are now dead to sin, right? To do what now? Live unto righteousness. So live out God's integrity. Live out God's character. Live out his righteousness. That's what it means. Okay? So no more doing this in the past, or no more doing the sins of the flesh, and now moving forward, live unto righteousness. You have the ability to do it. So guys, in the Bible, whenever there's a command, it's with the ability to fulfill that command. He's not asking you to. Peter's not asking any of you to do this. He's telling them to. He's commanding them. You're dead to sin now. Now move forward unto righteousness, because you have it in you. Any questions so far?
Yeah, I have one.
Yeah, good.
Okay, so I've been thinking about this a lot lately, and I'm wondering, so Christ is in us, and we should be becoming more and more Christ-like. Do you see a conflict with our, like, who he made us to be, but trying to be him?
So now in Christ, you're created in Christ Jesus.
Right.
So when you're born in Adam with the genes of your family, right, and the genes of all of that, you know, the thought process, the brain, all the mechanics, right?
Right.
You know, everyone has a personality,
right,
that wants to be balanced and evened out now with God's personality.
Okay.
Right?
So basically we stay who God made us to be, like if we're a serious person or a silly person or whatever. We still have our own characteristics, but we're taking him on. We're not living as him, but we're living as
him. So we have personality traits, right? I'll go through. There's melancholy, phlegmatic, right, sanguine, right? And one more.
Phlegmatic. Barbaric. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, phlegmatic, melancholy, sanguine, and...
They all sound awful.
S-F-D. Anyways. So you're born with that, but those will go away as I am renewed in Christ. Okay, so as I have my confidence in Christ, as Christ, the Holy Spirit, starts working through me, I'll have more and more of him and less of me, what I'm born with.
Okay.
So, you know, how I was born, how I was raised, I'm not that same person I am now. I'm way different. I was a shy, quiet boy. I was shy and quiet. You wouldn't have known I was even there unless, you saw me by chance. Now, I can't stop talking to people. Why is that?
Because that's what the Holy Spirit,
right,
is giving
me. I yielded to him. Yeah. Could I have been a quiet, shy pastor? I could have been, but that to me shows lack of maturity.
Okay.
That to me shows lack of maturity, in my opinion. Because when you're a pastor, you have to be doing pastor things. And if you're not, either you're called to be a pastor, not maturing in that, or you're not called, but you like the vocation, which both are okay.
Yeah.
Both are fine, I guess.
Yeah.
But I don't want to be, I don't want good to be the enemy of great. Yeah. I don't want to be like, yeah, I'm born this way. This is what I have. I don't say I did all these drugs so I can't memorize things, or I'm getting older so I can't. No. I am going to allow the Holy Spirit to memorize things in me until I physically can't do it. Until there's physically something wrong with an MRI where I have an excuse. Right? What the problem is practice. I'm not practicing enough. That's what the problem is. It's not lack of memory or lack of this, lack of that. No, I'm not actually doing what the Bible is asking me to do. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So if I'm not, if I have righteousness of God in me, I have his integrity, but I am still over here, I'm still short-tempered, I'm still angry, I still give into things. I'm a young believer in Christ, and I'm trying to work out my salvation maybe to get over here and be mature, or I'm staying here and not growing. You're one or the other. So like boomerang come full circle, I don't think that you always stay with the personality you're born. I think the more you grow in Christ, you take on his personality.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's what I'm saying.
I always tell the ladies in the ladies Bible study that we all start to look alike because we all have the same look on our face, just, you know, peace and joy.
Yeah, right, that's a good thing, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, wonderful. That answer your question?
Yes, mm-hmm. Thank you.
Okay. Good. And if you've ever taken a spiritual gift test, and I'll give it out to you. I should do that, actually.
Yeah, you should.
I'll give you guys a spiritual, the spiritual gift test, and we'll see what's very dominant and what's not dominant. And you'll see that you usually fall back on what you're comfortable with right now in your soul, in your emotion. You might go, nope, I don't do that, nope, I don't do that, nope, I don't do that. I gave it out once, and it was like the top three gifts were the gifts that did the least in the church. Surprisingly, we didn't have one person have the gift of giving. No one had the gift of administration. No one had the gift of evangelism. But everyone had the gift of encouragement. Everyone had the gift of, you know, the basic easy ones, right? I mean, say, yeah, that's who I am. So you're telling me in our church we have 9 gifts that aren't fulfilled? How can God works that way? I think we have these 9 gifts fulfilled. You just don't even, you don't know you have it because you're not, it's uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable. I think a lot of times the gift God gives you is opposite of what you're born with. You have to rely on him. That's just me. And we'll get to doctrine of gifts in a little bit, too.
Thank you.
Yeah. Excellent. All right, so you see that here, Peter had this. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Very familiar text of Scripture. But we'll go on down to verse 14, Ephesians 6:14. Stand, therefore, having your waist girded with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate of righteousness. At your core, right here, at your core, who you are is God's integrity, God's character. That's who you are. But one thing that might help you filter things is this going to display God's integrity or God's filter, his character? Now, if something's coming in, I have to always be displaying this. I have to be yielded to God's character. If it's not, it's either of the flesh, right? And that's bad. You can't have that. It's an outside force coming in to tempt you. But it's from the outside, not the inside. Okay? It's coming from out in to tempt you. I'm giving into that. Okay? Or I'm ignorant, I don't know. I'm oblivious to it, I don't know anything about it. Does that make sense? Okay, so my center, the breastplate of righteousness, is me understanding that at my core, God's in me, I'm in God, and I fall back on displaying his integrity, his character. That'll help us with a lot of decisions, right? Stop for a second. At my core, what's happening? This would not
show God's character or God's integrity, I'm not going to do it. Or I don't see that it would, I'm going against God's character, I can do it. Right? And there's a lot of color in, as I'm going against God's character or his integrity, I can do it. There's a lot in there. It's not gray, it's color. There's many options that are all good, a lot of good options. Does that make sense what I'm saying? Yeah. All right, we'll do a couple more here. We'll summarize this stuff. We see a command given to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6. We'll go ahead and go there. You'll see the importance that Paul has to tell Timothy. So Timothy was used to go behind Paul and establish the churches. That's what he did. Paul started, Paul moved on, Timothy would stay or be sent back and get it together with pastors, deacons, who was the most spiritual, who could, he would kind of do all the dirty work, okay, behind Paul. And so one thing Paul encouraged Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6, in verse 11, it says, "But you, O man of God," talking to Timothy, "escape these things," and the above things, like loving money and different things, "and follow after." First thing there is righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and gentleness. That's, he was helping Timothy get focused on, you know, as a leader of the church, here's where I want your core to be. Follow after righteousness. Okay? God's righteousness. Follow after that. And he lists some other things to help him stay on track, right? There's nothing wrong with helping another pastor or someone else stay focused, right? A lot of times, that's what we need. When you're going into an environment where it can be hostile, and there's all these questions, there's all these different false doctrines or false teachings, you know, it, you can get overwhelmed. And you start getting too zoned in on each specific problem when you have to learn and have a sermon on stopping and stepping back and going, okay, big picture, right? So 1 Timothy 6 here is a big picture. If you stay here, focus on this, now you can attack different circumstances. You know, for Timothy, in context of the issues he was going to have arise, right? So when I have problems, or I'm in an environment where a lot of questions are coming my way, I need to have a good prescription on, here's what's going to keep me at my core. Number one, God's integrity. I cannot give any advice that goes against God's integrity. I can't do it. I can't do it. That's my core. That's the breastplate of righteousness, right? So I can't tell someone and give them advice if it goes against that number one. If that's going to be your number one, right? So you need to have a number one. Number one, I have to stay here. Then it'll help you with your ripple effect and your own prescription. Does that make sense? Okay. Any questions so far? So I'm going to give you two more here. All right, my favorite chapter, which is, or book and chapter, anybody remember?
Romans 6.
Romans 6, we'll go ahead and go there. We're going to see it now practically. We're going to see it kind of displayed now to a group of people. Okay? How do I live this out? How would I see this in Scripture? Okay, so Romans chapter 6, let's bump on down to, let's go to verse 13, Romans 6, 13. "Do not yield your members to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but yield yourself to God as those who are alive from the dead, and your bodies to God as instruments of" what? Righteousness. Right, that's God's righteousness is in you to live that out. So, again, Romans 6 is saying, you can't in your will or in your choice live unrighteously, continue in sin that grace can abound. You can do that. But don't do that. Right? You can, but you shouldn't. So don't yield your instruments, your mind, your eyes, your ears, your hands, your feet, to unrighteousness. Rather yield your instruments, your mind, your eyes, you know, my heart, what I focus on, to righteousness.
which is God's character, right? His equity, living out what's just evenly. We'll keep on going here, just for more verses. 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, which is a Bible promise. For you are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Do you not know that to whom you, here's the key, right? Positionally, I am free. I have righteousness of Christ in me. I have all these things, but the key is, what am I going to yield to? Okay, do you not know that to whom you yield yourself as slaves to obey, you are the slaves of the one whom you obey? Whether of sin leading to death or obedience leading to righteousness. But thanks be to God, for you were slaves of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of teaching to which you were entrusted, and having been freed from sin, you became the slaves of righteousness. That's the goal, right? There's a process there. Okay? So when we see in the Bible Paul helping these believers to say, hey, you're born again, you're a believer, you're a saint, okay? Don't do these things of the past, because you're doing them now in the present. Here's, I need a mark, right? People need a mark to look at, and our mark is Jesus. Our mark is his character, what he has given to us. So now I go, okay, this is what's righteous, this is what's unrighteous. Now, common sense isn't very common. People need help with that, right? People need help. Look at the Corinthian church. We just went over that in the summer on Tuesday night. You would think common sense would say it would be convicted. There's a process that grows, right? So, you know, we have to labor love, right? Like Paul said in Philippians. Oh, I won't say it. Then you'll talk about it. Never mind. What other example could I use? We're growing with people, and it can be painful. It can be burdensome, right? But we don't give up, they don't give up. We keep on growing. The first handful of years are the roughest. It took me, you know, whenever I got saved, maybe 30 years to program my brain this way. Now I'm saved. It's going to take some time to deprogram that. Even saved people have programmed themselves to think certain things, and I'll say something like, yeah, Christ, the gospel of the Old Testament. And they go, wait, what? I get this look. You know, sometimes it's, I just assume people know what I'm talking about. I can't do that. It's not common. It's not common sense. I'm reading a book, it's a novel. I'm reading the Bible like it's a novel sometimes, and I skip over. The context is Christ is a Jew under the law. New covenant doesn't start until after the resurrection. People have been in church for 40 years, and they're like, what? People have led Sunday school groups and all these things, and they never even knew that. Why? They weren't taught that. So I can't think, well, common sense says, no, it's not common. You got to be patient with people, right? So having this new truth now, that God's righteousness is in me, people need, these believers need help to see, okay, well, what does that look like? Right? What is that? Okay, that's the hardest part, right? Practically speaking, what does that mean for me? So I get it intellectually, but how do I apply it? How do I live this out? And sometimes even back here, they want quick gains. It's not quick. It's a process, my friend. It's a process. Some things will go away right away. But other things, it's a process to keep going, keep enduring, keep studying, keep understanding. I still grow now. I didn't come out of college, Bible college going, I know it all. Came out of Bible college going, I have way more questions now than I did before. And then 2 years later, I go, 80% of what I learned in college was stupid and doesn't have any contextual, you know, understanding. I just start all over again. Which is good. That's not a bad thing. All right, moving on down here. Last one, we'll go into Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. So we have God's righteousness in us. And here's another teaching that Paul helped Titus. Again, Titus was another man that would go behind Paul and establish churches, establish the leadership, and get them kind of more in congregations, if you will, of how to fellowship, how to use our gifts, how to come together, right? So we see in Titus chapter 2, let's look at verse 11.
Titus 2:11, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly desires, we should live soberly, righteously, and in godliness in this present world." So you see that? So again, they have to be taught this. These are grown men in Crete that need help. Again, Crete was a bad area. Okay, it wasn't very good. So they need to be, grown men sometimes need help saying, hey, we're taught now to deny ungodliness and now or unrighteousness and live righteously moving forward. Here's how we do that. Titus helps us. So, upon salvation, boom, in our position, God's righteousness is put in us, right? The Holy Spirit. And so now we have the ability to live out God's righteousness between us and Him first, and then towards others. So you have that ability, that evenness, okay, that integrity, God's character. Right? So that's the breath of righteousness is at my core, at my center is God's righteousness, God's character, God's integrity. Right? That's my core. So everything needs to flow through that. Does that make sense what I'm saying? So everyone needs to have a fallback on, I'll start here. I want to give practical advice. It's not unrighteous. It doesn't go against God's integrity. Right? It might sound good. It might feel good. But is that really what God wants for them? We have to make sure we know, right? We have to make sure it is. Does that make sense what I'm saying?
I think when you become a slave or like Paul, become a prisoner, that takes some being used to. But that was the reality. I mean, and so you need to lay aside certain things to be a good slave, to be good to your master. In prison, you don't get to just walk around and, your freedom's gone. So if those things take time, then I guess we should be, expect this to take time as well for us to throw up what we used to know or how we lived and become what He's called us to, no matter what it is.
Right.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, so a slave has no rights.
No rights.
And no rights. In Christ, we're supposed to be a slave, but we can say no. Because now it's
true.
On our heart. Now we have the will to, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?
Yeah,
we have that ability. You can, as a slave, say, I'm not doing that. Now, we should always want to obey our master, right? God, Christ, is not a whip-yielding slave driver. He is a king. His ownership is, you're an heir. You're my child. We're going to future adopt you, which is a glorified body. All these things I'm going to give to you. I'll even allow you to work for rewards. So a slave should say, absolutely. I have a home in heaven. I have an inheritance in the future. I have all these great things that should prompt us outside of just Christ dying for us, right? To go forward and say, absolutely. But He gives us that free choice to not do what He asks us to do as a slave. How humbling. The perfect God. We're not robots. We are accountable for our own actions, right? Yeah. Any other thoughts? Concerns? Pretty clear? All right, Don, will you pray for us?
Father, we're so grateful that as believers, we have the Holy Spirit living within us, and we do have the righteousness of God, and we just need to live it out in our own lives. And we thank you for this lesson this morning and the truths that we hear from Jesse, and we pray that you will help us to apply it to our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.